Shalom Aleichem, Shavua Tov, Happy Isru Chag. It's the day after Simchat Torah. It's the 24th of Tishrei, and Mishnah Yomi is continuing in Chapter 3 of Moed Katan, Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah 3. Ve'elu kotvin b'moed. These items you may write during Chol HaMoed. Now, writing is one of the biblical melachot. It's a labor. It's something involved. We know we can't write on Shabbat and Yom Tov. And the idea is we don't want to allow everyone to write just anything on Chol HaMoed unless there's some kind of need or potential loss. You want people to be enjoying the holiday, not doing paperwork. So these you can write, Kiddushei Nashim, documents of betrothal. Now we mentioned before, we don't get married, fully married, with chuppah and the feast and the dancing and everything during Chol HaMoed. We don't mix a simcha with a simcha. The Gemara said we do allow betrothal. This is on Daf 18b, I believe. We do allow betrothal. Shema yakodmenu acher. Another man might get her. We mentioned might get her through prayers. The Gemara actually brings an amazing story where there was a young man who was praying and crying and very obsessed over one particular woman. And his rabbi saw him praying like this and said, "Don't do that. Don't pray for this one girl so intensely." In the end, he ended up marrying her and ended up hating her, because that really, he shouldn't have married her, but through prayer, he sort of, you know, changed his mazel, changed, you know, the what was from, you know, the match made in heaven. It really wasn't a match made in heaven, it was a match made of my... It's kind of a powerful story about the power of prayer, and it's kind of a scary story about the dangers of obsession. And that's the Gemara in 18b, but the Mishnah goes on, Gittin v'shovrin. You could write a get if somebody has a mitzvah to divorce his wife, or he's going to Yerushalayim, she doesn't want to go, she wants to stay, you know, and it doesn't work out. Or a receipt for a payment. Somebody wants to pay off his loan during Chol HaMoed, but he needs a receipt, so they won't try to collect again. Daitiki. Daitiki is a term for a will. It's a will written by somebody who's ill. And he's sick and he has a concern, you know, he has an anxiety, and it would calm his mind if he knows that his will is, you know, taken care of. Matana is a gift document, and there could be a concern if we don't write down the gift, then the giver might change his mind. Prosbulin, a prosbul is the famous, let's call it a workaround for the Shemitah canceling the loans. And this term is actually a Greek-related term, pros buli ubuti. It's a benefit for the poor and the rich. It's beneficial for the people who couldn't get a loan because the people with money, the banks, the individuals really, were not lending out money because they knew their loan would be canceled at the end of the Shemitah year. And it's a benefit for the lenders that they'll actually do the mitzvah of lending money and helping people out. Because if they know their loans will all be canceled and not collectible at the end of the year, they're not going to lend money that year. This was the actual situation that Hillel saw in his days. The people with resources were not lending money. People who needed money for Yom Tov Suda or for capital to buy merchandise and then sell at retail, they couldn't get loans. So the economy was stagnating. It wasn't good for wealthy and unwealthy alike. So the prosbul was a workaround. It was a shtar. The loan was given over to the court to be able to collect, and it would allow the lender to collect after the Shemitah year. So really, the effect of the prosbul is to keep what the Torah wants in place, which was people with money do lend money, and people who need capital can get funding for their businesses. The mission continues, igrot shum, letters of estimation. This is basically a foreclosure deed where a lender could get the You basically collect the property of the borrower who hasn't paid in satisfaction of the loan, but you have to know how much that property is worth. The igrot mazel, letters of support. This is if a woman has a daughter from a previous marriage and she gets remarried. It's sort of a quasi-adoption where the new husband writes a letter, writes a shtar, an official document that he will support this daughter. Shtari chalitza. Chalitza is the alternative to yibum. When we get to yivamos, we're going to learn all about it. They would write down in a shtar that this woman went through the chalitza ritual, so she was free to remarry. Umiunin. Miun is, well, it's not dissimilar to chalitza. It's if a young girl had no father, she was an orphan, and she was married off by her mother or older brothers. Now, that's not a biblical marriage. And when this woman, this little, she's a girl, she's a minor, when she comes of age, if she decides she does not want to continue to be married, since she was never biblically married, she can get out. She can opt out. And they would write a shtar miyun, that she has done miyun, which means refusal, and she's no longer in this marriage. Ushtari birurin, shtarim of breira, of choosing, of selecting. So when two parties would go to court, they would each select a judge, and the two judges that they picked, that both sides picked, would pick the third judge, and they would write this down so there was no argument over who the judges should be. Gzeirot beit din, decisions of the court, v'igrot shel reshut, and letters of reshut. Now reshut here can mean, you know, government authority letters, or it can mean reshut, you know, permissible letters, simply greetings of one person to their friend. And Mishnah Dalet continues this theme. Ein kotvin shtari chuv b'moed. We don't write loan documents during Chol HaMoed. Eino ma'amino. If the lender doesn't trust the borrower, they'll write up a shtar later. O ein lo mayochel. He doesn't have what to eat. Meaning, even if the scribe, the sofer who's writing down the document, needs money for Chol HaMoed, for Yom Tov food, hare ze yichtov. You could go ahead and write it on Chol HaMoed. Mishnah adds, ein kotvin svarim. We don't write down scripture, books, tefillin, or mezuzot. B'moed, during Chol HaMoed, even though these things are a mitzvah. Bein magichin ot achat. We don't go through a Sefer Torah and correct even one letter. Filu b'sefer hazora. Even the Sefer Torah in the Azora, in the temple courtyard, which is used by the Kohen Gadol, by the king. Some of the Girsa Ezra, it could have been the Sefer Torah of Ezra, was also the one in the Azora. Rabbi Yehuda adds, kotiv adam tefillin mezuzot la'atzmo. That the sofer, someone could write up his tefillin, or his mezuzah for his own needs. He can spin the wool techeles, the blue-dyed wool for the tzitzit, on his thigh. Normally it would be spun between the fingers. Here there's a shinui, he does it a little bit differently, but Rabbi Huda would still allow it to be done. And I've heard poskim say that in modern times, during Chol HaMoed, if somebody has a chiddush haTorah, a thought, some sort of insights or inspiration that they come to realize through their Limud Torah, it's very apropos the day after Simchat Torah. If you had some thought during Chol HaMoed and you don't want to forget it, you should certainly write it down, because there's no greater dover of it. Our individual insights, our Torah thoughts, could be lost if we don't write them down and don't record them. So it's a great lesson that when we have something inspirational, maybe send it out in an email. Let your friends and family know that you came up with some new insight or some valuable wisdom out of the Torah learning that we're doing every day. Yashar kochachem, shavua tov, zay gezunt.